Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with the founder of the Light Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing this fine day?
Doing great, Scott. I'm watching the sunlight play on my window, and it's just so delightful. I just love the time of year where, you know, sunlight is abundant.
Yes, it's great, isn't it?
I think we're wired for that, too, you know.
Yeah, we're wired for exercise and raw foods and abundant sunlight. When you think about, you know, we started off in Africa, they probably had a lot of sunlight there.
That's right. That's right.
Last time we were talking about diabetes, and I understand that after that show, you got a call about it.
Oh, yes. One of our listeners called, of all places, from far away. So he lives in the Arabic culture. And so immediately I could relate to it because, of course, they eat very much on the wrong side of the equation. You know, a typical Middle Eastern diet is the roasted beef on a stick. I don't know if you remember what that looks like. It's called shawarma.
Oh, yes.
And they eat a lot of bread. They eat flat leavened bread with just about everything. You know, if you remember the gyro, it's the wrap, right? They make these wraps, flat breads that are filled with stuff, but the stuff they fill it mostly is meat.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this fellow calls me up and says, I am so concerned about my friend. He's 50-something, and he's overweight, and he's diabetic, and it's getting worse. And so I'm quizzing him, and I'm saying, so is he getting worse and worse year to year? And every year he's 2 to 3 or 5 or 10 pounds heavier, and finding it more difficult to cope. Yep, all that. And so he's asking, well, how could I gently persuade him to consider these holistic methods? Well, my comeback to him was, well, I think what you really need to do is the Dickens pattern, Tony Robbins calls it.
Yeah, what's that?
The Christmas Carol, where you show the fellow his past and his future.
Right.
So it's like, okay, so step into the future. Now, first consider your trajectory. What happened? What was your life like 10 years ago? What is it like now? And then extrapolate that into the future.
Right.
Okay, so what's the destination? Okay, if this Titanic is heading towards an iceberg, is it going to hit it?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't change course, absolutely guaranteed. I mean, I don't know why the captain of Titanic chose that shorter route. You know, they wanted to beat the world record from getting from A to B.
Right.
So that the shortest route was straight through the iceberg field. They knew that they could have taken, I don't know what it was, 18 or 20 hours longer if they just took the more southerly route. But no, they were just, oh, we're invincible. We can go through the field. This boat will never sink.
Right.
Anyway, so the point is, they were taking the route through the ice field, or iceberg field, and the history shows that they didn't make it.
Well, and I was thinking, too, is doesn't history also show very often that as human beings, we think that we're indestructible and it's no problem, we can go through that ice field and
not
survive.
Me. Yeah, not me. I'm smarter than X. Or the obvious rules of logic do not apply.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was suggesting that he speak with him in these terms. If you're going to continue in the direction in which you're traveling, please let me paint to you the destination. You're in a wheelchair with your legs cut off at your knees. You're blind. And you're not feeling all that good.
Wow.
Okay, if that's what you don't want, you must change course. So there was no getting there gently. There was no, I'm going to try and persuade him that he should consider perhaps, taking some vitamin C. That's not enough. You know, when you're trying to get the elephant to move, you don't sort of like go tickle, tickle, tickle.
Yeah.
You need to have a little stronger persuasion.
Right, right.
Anyway, poor guy. I really sympathize with this because, as we said on our previous podcast, the best addiction there is to cooked food and to the three flavors that we are wired to want, which is fat, sweet, and salty.
Yeah.
So it's the culture, it's the whole culture. You have lived for 50 years in it, and you cannot possibly visualize yourself not eating bread with your ex, with your whatever, the food that you have.
Yeah.
Or you cannot possibly conceive that you could switch to salads. And yet, even in the Middle Eastern cuisine, there's this wonderful thing called tabbouleh salad. I make it for myself whenever tomatoes and cucumbers are in season. And it's the most wonderful thing. Anyway, what I wanted to mention is diabetes has been researched. One of the really significant researchers is a fellow whose name is Ron Rosedale. Ron has spent years investigating what is the cause and cure of diabetes. And he actually found that it's directly correlated and associated with obesity too. And it's this. Our body, our fat, produces a hormone that's called leptin. And leptin is a signaling hormone. Essentially, every fat cell puts out a little bit of leptin as if it were a smell. It just wafts off leptin, as in, I'm a fat cell, I'm sitting here. And leptin is supposed to, it does arrive at your brain at the detection centers, and you're supposed to notice that, yes, there's leptin, that means we're fat, we don't need to put on weight. Right? This is okay. The feast or famine situation in the human body, right?
Right, right.
Because when we're in a feast, the insulin comes out and starts putting away fat for storage.
Yeah, that's how it works.
So it works. So if your brain is not smelling the leptin, it thinks that you're starved. So it tells your mind, we're skinny, eat, regardless of how fat you are. So even if you're 100 pounds overweight, if your brain thinks that you're skinny, it'll ask you to eat more.
Yeah.
And you will be ravenously hungry. And most of this is caused by the diet, the nutritional style that is too rich in high glycemic index food, carbohydrate food. So long as America has its cheapest foods, carbohydrates, grains, bread, pizza, pasta, all of that stuff, we're going to continue to have obesity problems. Because people who have to make economic choices over their food are forced to eat cheap, which means carbs.
Right. And that becomes a vicious circle, doesn't it?
Completely. And you become addicted to it. So anyway, going back to leptin. So in your brain, it's as if, I'll give you an analogy. When you come into a room that has something smelly in it. Let's just say that somebody was cutting up onions and frying them. You come into the house that you just finished making your omelet, you smell it, it's intense.
Right, yeah.
But you come in, you sit down, and within 4 or 5 minutes, you don't notice it. Your brain completely deletes it. You get used to that, and that's it. The only way you could smell that smell again is by leaving the room, leaving the house, going to the fresh air, spending 4 or 5 minutes out there. When you come back, you will smell it again.
Yeah, that's right, because we get used to it very quickly.
Right, and your brain deletes whatever is present in abundance, because that's the normal. You just delete that. You just don't notice that anymore. So anyway, your brain could become insensitive to leptin. When that happens, you are simply in this crazy loop of being fat and hungry at the same time.
Yeah, that's it's such a contradiction.
Right. And it's caused by the signaling problem. And this is what Ron Rosedale discovered and described very effectively and explained. The only way out of here, the only way to reset the brain for leptin signaling is to stop eating carbs for about 20 to 30 days.
So that's the same as when you've used to the bad smell in the room, leaving for 5 or 10 minutes and then coming back.
Right. So in a human body, it takes about 20 to 30 days to clear the leptin, what shall we call it, insensitivity or blocking of the signaling. So once you get your carb intake down to about an ounce at most a day, so that's hardly any, you know. It certainly is less than one slice of bread a day. If you can manage that. And actually, Atkins' diet did that in a popular way. I mean, it was wrong because it left the fats and cooks and all of that in the picture, but it certainly worked on the carbs. It didn't put you into an anabolic growth. It put you in a catabolic destruction, but you certainly lost a lot of weight.
Right. So we know it's pretty powerful. You just got to make sure you do it the right way.
Right. Well, meaning don't switch to eating bacon and eggs. You know, please switch to eating salads with eggs or salads with meats or salad with protein or salad on its own, as opposed to just straight steak.
Right.
Okay, so that's the method. The other things that you can do to help lower the inflammation, we didn't get a chance to describe what these things are. They are pretty much the same as our other methods, but people who are listening to this and not something else should hear it. So number one, inflammation equals hardening equals calcification, which means that you have imbalance between calcium and magnesium. This is common because our soils are depleted of magnesium, so there's not enough magnesium in the food we eat, especially in the stuff grown in the fields, which is the grains, like the corn, the potato, and the wheat, and the rice, and all that. So you must supplement with magnesium, and you cannot do that internally because you will forever be having a diarrhea.
Right. So in other words, so you can't take magnesium supplements.
To not in quantities that are required to make this correction.
Right.
So you...
I was going to say that one of the things that we've discovered is eye damage from diabetes is more likely to occur if you're deficient in magnesium.
That's correlated, exactly. So the prevention is get on magnesium. The best value we have are the magnesium crystals. Add them to your bath. If you don't like taking a bath, well, then get the magnesium oil or gel and put it on your body after your shower.
Well, and one of the things that we talked about last time too was relaxation and cutting down on stress and a nice 20-minute
bath,
hot bath with magnesium will do that. Will do two things. It will get you the magnesium, but it'll also relieve a lot of your stress.
Yes, that's true.
It's multitasking, right?
Yes, absolutely.
We all want to multitask. So let's multitask on our health.
That's right. Yeah, by having a meditation in a magnesium bath. The other things that you can do, of course, are anti-inflammatories. So essential fatty acids are very good. You know, the good fats, coconut fat, hemp oil, flax oil, you know, anything that's omega-3 rich is good. It's good for you. And the next thing, direct anti-inflammatories. We have this wonderful product called Recovery, which is all natural. It doesn't conflict with any medication, and yet it lowers inflammation. Just beautiful. You can get on that, and then of course, Dr. Vickery's amino acids. They're helping correct the damage. And then we have all kinds of little things that are assisting in there, which would be all the mineral supplements, you know, like RC Vitality or the topically everything. You know, those sort of things are really good at supplementing the trace minerals. It doesn't really matter which one you pick. We have about a dozen to choose from, so every flavor and budget, we can accommodate it. And then, I don't know, I'd like to mention this article about magnesium and diabetic neuropathy. You know, there are people who get into diabetes. I don't know, somebody might be listening to us who already is deep into it. So, you know, the changes are make dietary changes, try and exercise. But here's the important thing. If you already have neuropathy, that's not fun, you know. That is something that's very unpleasant.
What is neuropathy?
Essentially, you have... it starts as itching, then it progresses into tingling, and then it progresses into pain. And it's like that the nerves, you know, that are in your legs, for instance, they will just... they'll be stimulated. They'll twang. You know, like you will be essentially. Well, it hurts. It's pain. You know. It's as if somebody was constantly pressing your door buzzer. You know. You just can't sleep. It just bugs you. Anyway. Well, there's a study on our website that shows that magnesium is the surest way to reverse it. So I just want to direct people to this article that's on our website. It's like, you know, loads of science showing exactly how, why, and what the pathway is. I don't know why doctors don't know about it or ignore the existence of it. They do. You know, they just simply prescribe you, well, you know, you just have to take insulin and we'll just monitor you and we'll just watch you on your way downhill. That's not necessary. You can actually recover.
Well, one of the things that you said last time, Martin, was the you know, you end up having your fingers and toes cut off because you're not getting blood to the extremities, and these are real problems. And magnesium is necessary for the production, function, and transport of insulin. And I was just reading from that article where it was talking about... I missed it. Oh, deficiency of magnesium plays a role in the constriction of arteries.
Right on. Blood pressure issues.
And blood pressure issues. So if you have peripheral artery diseases or vascular diseases and you're adding magnesium, you're going to be, you know, helping your body get blood to those areas, because that's why you're not feeling stuff and things are going dead. It's because it's not getting nutrients, which, of course, our blood brings.
That's correct. Yeah, you got it. So, you know, for those of you who are already in diabetes, please know this. It is not a condition that's not reversible, even though they tell you that there's no cure for diabetes. It's a condition of your bodily tissue. If you restore function to the tissue, I don't care if you used to have diabetes. Now that you don't have symptoms of diabetes, what is it that you have? Nothing. Just normal body. So, food is your best medicine. Really. Understand it. There's a whole article written by Henry Beeler. He actually wrote a book, Food is Your Best Medicine, and he explains all what you need to know about food. Greens, enzymes, algae, coenzyme Q10, superfoods, all of those things that we keep talking about elsewhere. Diabetes is just an extreme expression of nutritional deficiency, of just culture that's wrong. It's a cultural problem. I mean, why else would we be having an epidemic of diabetes if it were not for the way we live?
Yeah, they're saying that 2 out of every 3 children born in the United States is going to be diabetic.
Right. Why would they actually make that projection? That projection is based on the fact that the food is grown by the agribusiness, which is, I must say this, you know, food is cheaper than it ever has been. And it's worth every penny that we're paying for it, I'm promising.
Yeah.
I don't know if that came across clearly, but what I mean by this is this. Food is cheap. It's because there's nothing in it.
Yeah. And you got to need high density, no.
Yeah, high nutrient.
Nutrient-dense food versus calorie-dense food. And that's
yes.
One of our themes, right?
Yes, forever. Because that one issue alone is the cause of most inflammatory disease in America, or in the affluent society.
Right. Cool. So, Martin, if somebody wanted to know more about the products that you recommended or what they can do to help themselves or like your friend that called from the Middle East, help themselves to get over this, what should they do?
Yes, educate yourself. Convince yourself that the only way you can get out of here is by prevention or reversal. When you change your habits, you will get better. I promise. And the details are described on life-enthusiast.com. Here we are exploring the health concerns, diabetes, and you can get your answers either by writing to us or by calling us at 1-866-543-3388. We are restoring vitality to you and to the planet.